يعني رب العالمين.
Recording has started.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. I pray that you are all in the best of health and iman. Ameen ya rabbal alameen. Inshallah, we will start with our weekly homework. We'll start with the word meanings first, ayat 87 to 93 of Surah Al-Baqarah today. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahir rahmanir raheem. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي ربي زدنا علما اللهم فقهنا في الدين اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا وعملا متقبلا ورزقا طيبا اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما آمين يا رب العالمين. Inshallah, let's begin with the word meaning. Starting with ayah number 87 of Surah Al-Baqarah. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولقد و and لقد certainly in fact. So there's double emphasis in this word la in the beginning of a word. The short la as the prefix means surely or certainly, and قد also means the same, in fact. So this word actually means and certainly in fact or surely in fact. So there's double emphasis in this word. Atayna. Ate gave na we Musa alayhi salam al kitaba. Al means the kitaba book. Wa qaffayna wa and qaffay sent in succession na we min ba'dihi. Min means from and then ba'di after. He him bi rusul be with. Al means the, and then rusul is messengers. Now please note here that the word rasul that has a vowel after the seen means one messenger, and this is rusul. So this is a plural. So with the messengers. Wa ateina wa and ate gave na we Isa alayhi salam ibna son Maryama. Of Maryam, al-bayyinati, al means the, bayyinat, bayyin means something that's clear. So bayyinat is the plural, the clear signs or miracles. Wa and ayyadinahu. We know that the word yad means hand. So ayyad, we strengthened or we helped. Ayyad means helped, and na is the pronoun that means we, known with the standing fatha. So ayyadina, we strengthened who, him, be with ruhi, ruh, which is the word for spirit, al-qudus, the holy. Afakullama, a is the prefix at the beginning of this word, or it can be a whole separate word, and it means do. Or it's used to question, like when we question, ask a question at the beginning of a word. If you see a, it usually means that a question is being asked. Fa, then, or so. Kullama, whenever. So, afa kullama, do then, whenever. Ja'akum, ja'a, came. Kum, to all of you. Rasulun, a messenger. Please note, this is a singular word. So, it means one messenger. Rasul, bima, be, with, ma, what, la, not. Lam alif la, the longer one, it means not. Tahwa, desire. Anfusukum, your souls. Istakbartum. Istakbar comes from the word takabbar, which means to assume greatness, to be proud or arrogant. So istakbar assumed greatness or acted arrogant. Tum, all of you. So istakbartum, all of you acted proud or arrogantly. Fa, so, fariqan, a small group. Kazzabitum. Kazzaba means to belie or deny. Tum, all of you. Wa, and fariqan, a small group. Takutulun, you all kill. Qatala is the root word here, which means to kill. Da in the beginning means you, and the una ending makes it plural. So all of you kill. Wa, and qalu, they said. And we know this is third person and it's plural. It ends in a waw sukun followed by alif. So qalu, and they said, qulubuna. Qulub is the plural of qalb, which means heart. So qulub, hearts, na, ours, ghulf, are covered or encased. Bal, rather, la'anahum. La'ana comes from the root word la'ana, which means curse. So la'ana is a verb and it's in third person in the past. So he cursed. Hum, them. Allahu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we know Allah is the one who is the doer here. He is the one doing something because the dhamma at the last letter in the word Allah shows that he is the one, okay, who is doing whatever comes before it. So la'anahum, he cursed them, Allahu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bi kufrihim. Now the bi here does not mean with, it means because of or due to. Kufri, disbelief, him, theirs. Fa qalilan, fa, so, qalilan, little or small. Ma, what, yu'minun, they believe. Iman is the root word here, which means to believe, and you in the beginning means he or they. But the una ending makes it plural. So yu'minun, they believe. Wa, and lamma, when, ja'a, came, hum, to them. Kitabun, a book, min, from, indi, near, Allahi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Musaddiqun, confirming. Lima, li, two or four. Ma, what? Ma'ahum. Ma'a means with. Hum, them. Wa kanu, wa, while. Kanu, they were. This comes from the word kun, which means to be. And this is third person and plural. So kanu, they were. Min qablu, from before. Or instead of saying from before in English, it's okay if you say before this or before, formerly. Yastaftihuna. The root word here is fatha, which means victory. Okay, so, and the sin sukun in the beginning, after the ya, means to ask for something. And the ya means he or they. And we know this is they because it ends in una. So third person and it's plural. So yes. Taftihuna, they ask for victory. They seek victory. Ala, upon. Alladhina, those who. Kafaru, they disbelieved. And we know that this comes from the root word kufr, which means disbelief. And this is a verb, and it ends in waw sukun, and that silent alif in the end, so it's plural. So they disbelieved. Falamma, fa, then. Lamma, when. Ja'a, came. Hum, to them. Ma, what? Arafu, they recognized. Again, this is third person, plural. Fu, in the end, shows this. Kafaru, they disbelieved. Bihi, be with he. It. Fa, so. La'anatu, curse. Allahi, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ala, upon. Al-kafirin, those who disbelieve. Ina ending makes this word plural, and gafir means somebody who disbelieves. So gafirin, those who disbelieve. Bit sema, how bad or evil. Ma, what. Bit sema means evil or bad, and ma means what. Ishtero, they bartered. The root word here is ishtero, which basically means to trade, to give one thing and take another. So ishtero, they bartered, or they bought and sold, and they traded, basically. So it ends in waw sukun and alif, so it's third person plural. They bartered, bihi, bi with, he, it, anfusahum, their souls. Anfusa is the plural of nafs, which means soul, hum, theirs. An, that, yakfuru, they disbelieve. Ya in the beginning means he or they, and the u ending. The ra, dhamma, followed by waw sukun and alif tells us it's plural. And kufr is the root word. So yakfuru, they disbelieve. Bima, bi, with, ma, what? Anzala, he sent down. Allahu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bawiyan, due to rebellion or grudge. An, that. Yunazila, he sends down. So same word again as anzala, but you in the beginning means he, and this is not in the past, okay? Because it's not three fathas, it's yunazila, not anzala. So he sends down, or he reveals. Allahu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, min, from, fadli. Fadl means bounty or favor. He, his, ala, upon, man, whoever, yasha'u, he wills. Sha'a means to will, like we say, insha'Allah, if Allah wills. So, ya means he, and sha'u, wills. Min, from, ibadihi, this is the plural of abd, which means a servant or a slave, and ibad means servants or slaves, he, his. Fa, so, ba'u, they returned, and we know this is plural because it ends with that waw sukun. B, with ghadabin. Ghadab, the root word here means anger, wrath, ala, upon, ghadabin, anger or wrath. Wa, and lil kafirina, li, for, of, the kafirina, disbelievers. Adabun, a punishment. Muheen, humiliating or disgraceful. Wa, and idha, when, qila, it was said, la, for, hum, them. Or since this word, the la, the prefix comes after qila, we can say to instead of for. It makes more sense to say when it was said to them. Aminu, believe, this is a command. And a bunch of people are being addressed because it ends in the plural ending, the waw sukun and alif. So aminu, all of you, believe. Bima, with. Ma, what? Anzala, he sent down. Allahu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Qalu, they said. Nu minu. Again, the root word is iman, which means to believe, and nu in the beginning means we. So nu minu, we believe. Bima, be. With ma, what? Unzila, was sent down. Alayna, alay, upon. Na, us. Wa, and. Yakfuruna, they disbelieve. Kufr is the root word here, which means disbelief. And ya in the beginning and una ending means they. So yakfuruna, they disbelieve or deny. Bi, with ma, what? Wara'a, besides. Who? It. Wahuwa, wa, while, huwa, it, al-haqqu, the truth, musaddiqan, confirming, lima, li, two or four, ma, whatever, ma'ahum, ma'a, with, hum, them, qul, say, falima, fa, then, lima, why, taqutuluna, you all kill. Qatil is the root word. Da in the beginning and una ending makes it plural. Da in the beginning means you. So taqutuluna, you all kill. Anbiya'a, prophets. This is a plural of the word nabi, which means one prophet. So anbiya'a, prophets. Allahi, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The kasra at the end of the word Allah means of, just like the apostrophe S in English. So Allah's prophets. Okay, so min qablu, min from qablu, before. In if, kuntum, kun, were, tum, you, mu'mineen, believers. Iman is the root word. Mim in the beginning just makes it a noun, like mu'min means a believer, and ina ending makes it plural. So mu'mineen, believers. Wa and, laqad, surely, in fact, ja'akum, ja'a came, kum, to all of you. Musa, Musa alayhi salam, bil bayyinati, be with al the bayyinati, clear proofs. Summa, then, ittakhaz. Khuz means to take. So ittakhaz, took, tum, all of you. Al ajla, the calf. Min ba'di, after. He, him. Wa antum, wa. And antum, you, zalimun, the ones who are wrongdoers. Zulm is the root word here, which means injustice. And zalim is one who does injustice. And una ending makes it plural. So zalimun, those who are unjust. Wa is, wa, and is, when. Akhazna, we took firmly. Khuz means to take, to hold. Na, we. Mithaqa, covenant. A binding oath, gum, yours, wa, and rafa'a, raised. Rafa'a means to raise or lift. Na, we. Fawqa, above, gum, all of you. Al-tura, the door. Khuzu, you all take, ma, what? And we know khuzu is plural. It's a command to all of them because it ends in wawsukun and alif. Ma, what? Ate, gave. Na, we, kum, to all of you. Be, with, kuvatin, strength, or force, power. Wasma'u, wa, and sama'a means listening. So, isma'u is a command and it's plural, ending in wawsukun and alif. So, isma'u, all of you, listen. Qalu, they said, this is also plural. Sami'na. Sama'a, root word, which means to hear. Na, we. So, sami'a, na, we heard. Wa, and asai. Asa means to disobey. Na, we. Asai, na, we disobeyed. Wa, and ushribu, they were made to drink. Shariba is the word for a drink. And ushribu, they were made to drink. The waw sukun and alif makes it plural. Fi, in. Qulubi, hearts, him, theirs. Al-ajla, the calf, be, because of. Kufri, disbelief, him, theirs. Qul, say. Bi'sa, evil, or how bad. Ma, what. Ya'muru, it orders. Amr is the root word here, which means a command or order. So ya'muru, it orders. Qum, all of you. Bihi, be with, he, it. Imanukum, imanu, belief, kum, yours, in, if, kuntum, kun, were, tum, all of you, mu'mineen, believers. Iman means to believe, that's the root word, and the meme at the beginning of the word makes it a noun, and mu'min means a believer, a true believer. Ina ending just makes it plural. So, in kuntum, if you all are, or were, mu'mineen, believers. Alhamdulillah. That's the word meanings. And we'll start with the ayat for today. Inshallah, the tafsir. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wa laqad atayna Musa al-kitab. And certainly, we gave Musa alayhi salam the book, the Torah. وَقَفَّيْنَا مِنْ بَعْدِهِ بِالرُّسَلِ And then we followed him up with a succession of messengers. Now which messengers? With him was sent his brother Harun alayhi salam. And then came Yahya alayhi salam. Sorry, and then came Yusha alayhi salam. Then Ilyas alayhi salam. Yasa alayhi salam. Dawood alayhi salam, Sulaiman alayhi salam, Uzair alayhi salam, Yunus alayhi salam, Yahya alayhi salam, Zakaria alayhi salam, and then Isa alayhi salam. And then many more besides these. But the last of those was Isa alayhi salam. After that, no more messengers were sent to the Bani Israel. The prophethood shifted to the Bani Ismail. And then Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent from the Bani Ismail. So many messengers were sent to them. So they should have been better in obtaining guidance. وَآتَيْنَا عِيسَى بْنَ مَرْيَمَ الْبَيِّنَاتِ And we gave Isa alayhi salam, the son of Maryam, clear proofs, the miracles that nobody could deny. What were the miracles? When he would make a bird out of clay, he would blow in it and it would start to fly, subhanAllah. And he used to resurrect the dead by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he used to heal the leper. These were signs, these were miracles. وَأَيَّدْنَاهُ بِرُوحِ الْقُدُسِ And we supported him, strengthened him with Ruhul Qudus, the Holy Spirit, which is the title for Jibreel alayhi salam. In Surah Al-Qadr, he is called a Ruh as well. تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالْرُوحِ So he was called Ruh in many parts of the Quran also. In Hadith as well, we learn from Hassan radiallahu anhu, the poet who used to respond with poetry to the mushriks for Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say, Oh Allah, help Hassan with Ruhul Qudus. This proves that Jibreel alayhi salam is Ruhul Qudus. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say, Hassan, reply to the mushrikeen, the polytheistic people, Jibreel alayhi salam is with you. So Jibreel alayhi salam is Ruhul Qudus. Ruhul Qudus especially supported Isa alayhi salam. How? Even before Isa alayhi salam was born, Jibreel alayhi salam blew into his mother, Maryam's clothes, and she became an expectant mother. Besides that, when Isa alayhi salam was among the Jews and they strongly opposed him when he was living among them, Jibreel alayhi salam stayed with him for his protection until they plotted to crucify him. Until the end, he stayed with him. At that time, when they plotted to crucify him, Jibreel alayhi salam raised him alive. So he was especially supported by Jibreel alayhi salam. And we know that he is the only messenger who was raised alive to the sky, okay, to the heavens. He is the only one who's going to come back before the Day of Judgment. So he was really strengthened by Jibreel alayhi salam. Jibreel alayhi salam helped all messengers and he came to all of them. But Isa alayhi salam is especially pointed out here because those people used to say that Isa alayhi salam showed no miracles, and they claimed that the miracles he showed was because he had help from shaitan. Okay, that shaitan taught him how to do what he did. Na'udhu billah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells them that the messengers were supported by Jibreel alayhi salam, by his help. أَفَكُلَّمَا جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ Is it that whenever a Rasul, a messenger, brought to you, بِمَا لَا تَحْوَى أَنفُسَكُمْ Whatever orders were against your desires, استكبرتم, you were arrogant. Whatever they didn't like of the orders that the messengers brought, they became arrogant. They acted arrogantly. This is what we do sometimes too, don't we? That we want to adjust the deen according to our personality. Whatever rules we like, we start to follow. And whatever we don't like, we act arrogantly towards. What does a person do when they do takabbur? Istakbartum. The root word here is takabbur, which means arrogance. When they do takabbur, when they're arrogant, they reject what the other person says because they think what they believe or say is more important, whatever they think is greater. Then you denied a group of the messengers. Many messengers came to them, and they denied one group of them completely and opposed them. And then you went as far as killing some of them when you couldn't shut their mouths. This is what people do. They only like the deen, religion, when it tells them to do what they like. People used to go to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam also sometimes, asking him to not say certain things to them, and then they'd follow him. That don't tell us to do this, and we'll believe. Even today, we want whatever follows our desires when it comes to the orders of the deen. And then we start trying to prove that we are right, and we present excuses to do what we want. Presenting facts and figures and saying things were different in the former times. They exceeded in their denial to the point of killing some of the messengers. Na'udhu billah. We don't know some of those names of those messengers, but the ones we know they killed were Zakaria alayhi salam, Yahya alayhi salam, and they think that they killed Isa alayhi salam too. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lifted him up alive, but they think they really crucified him. وَقَالُوا قُلُوبُنَا غُلْفٌ. The Jews used to say, our hearts are covered. Meaning whenever Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them anything from the Quran, they used to say that their hearts are wrapped, they're encased. This meant that they were mocking him, and that they thought what he was saying was not important. They meant for him to go and tell someone else, someone who was simple-minded and who would actually listen to him. They meant that whatever he said wouldn't affect their hearts, because their hearts were very secure and protected, so his lectures wouldn't affect them. They basically laughed at him, saying that it doesn't matter what he said. Their hearts were secure. Secondly, قُلُوبُنَا غُلْف meant that they thought they had a treasure of knowledge. And they had so much ilm already from the Torah, so they didn't need anything else, even if it was something new. They thought they had too much knowledge of deen already. They didn't need any more knowledge of the religion. But rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wrath descended upon them after this. So what they said was wrong. And he says, لَعَنَهُمُ اللَّهُ بِكُفْرِهِمْ. He cursed them for their disbelief. Because of it, because of this disbelief, they are deprived of any type of khair, goodness, and mercy. That's what this means. What else does that include, to be deprived of his rahmah? Rahmah is the word for mercy. The greatest rahmah of all is iman and the understanding of deen. They were deprived of iman, of being able to believe. فَقَلِيلًا مَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. There's very few of them who believe, or a very small chance of them accepting Islam, believing. They had bad intentions. They were arrogant and jealous. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put a stamp on their hearts. Their chance of accepting the truth had become very little, their chances. Being cursed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala meant that His mercy will not reach them now. Very few of us consider the real rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala His rahmah, His mercy. Many of us think that wealth or luxuries of this world are the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the mercy, His mercy upon us. But the real mercy is deen, it's iman. Due to this misunderstanding, a lot of people think that being distant from religion isn't such a big thing. And they think that being deprived, they're not being deprived of something beneficial. If we thought of it as rahmah or mercy, we would never become distant from it. We would raise to take it. Who wouldn't want it then? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, for whomever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intends goodness, He gives them the understanding of the deen, the religion. It is rahmah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his mercy. But since they were cursed, it's rare that they would believe. وَلَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ كِتَابٌ مِّنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ And when the book of Allah came to them, which book is being mentioned here? The Quran. مُصَدِّقٌ لِمَا مَعَهُمْ That which confirms what they had. What did they have? The Torah. We learned this earlier too, that the Quran verifies the Torah, that it is from Allah. The Quran does not confirm the changes of the Torah that they made, but it verifies that whatever was then revealed from Allah was the truth from Him. Whatever was there from before. So even today, we can check from the Quran and compare. Whatever from the Torah is the same as the Quran is the actual truth in the Torah. But if it says something against what we find in the Quran, we know that they have made those changes themselves. Because there can be no contradictions in the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Quran verifies and endorses the Torah as the truth from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَكَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلُ يَسْتَفْتِحُونَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا And before this, they used to ask for victory over those who disbelieved. Let's look at their history a little bit first to better understand this, inshallah. Before, the Jews used to pray for the last messenger to be sent. Why? Because when they fought against the kuffar, the disbelievers, the Aus and Khazraj, they were the disbelievers. So when they were at battle with them, they used to say, look, our books say that there's the last messenger who's going to come. And when he comes, we will believe him. Then we'll fight alongside him and defeat all of you. And an interesting fact is that when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was at Mecca, and the people of Medina had not accepted Islam yet, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to go and invite people to deen around when it was time for Hajj. So he went to do da'wah, to call people to deen, to some people from Medina who were there. And he saw six people from the Khazraj tribe. One of those two tribes we discussed last week. He saw six people from the Khazraj tribe sitting in the valley of Uqba. He invited them to deen, and they looked at each other, signaling to each other with their eyes, basically, thinking this must be the same messenger the Jews used to tell us about. They knew this because they came from Medina, and the Jews used to threaten them by saying this all the time, that the last messenger is going to come, and then we're going to fight with him and defeat all of you. So they knew a messenger would come, and they thought, why don't we believe in this messenger before the Jews do? They didn't know themselves that a messenger was to come, but it was a blessing for them that they had heard the Jews say it, even though they used to threaten them with it. But that became a blessing for them. The Jews didn't believe when he did come, but subhanAllah, these people accepted Islam. And then so many other people accepted Islam because of them in Medina. And after they took an oath of allegiance with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he migrated to Medina, they were the first ones to offer him help there. Anyhow, the Jews had been making du'as for this messenger's arrival. But when he came to them, فَلَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ مَا أَرَفُوا كَفَرُوا بِهِ They recognized him, but they still denied him. فَلَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ Then because of their disbelief, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, again here, that the curse of Allah is on those disbelievers, meaning the Jews. بِئْسَ مَا اشْتَرَوْا بِهِ أَنفُسَهُمْ Very bad or evil is what they sold their souls for. أَن يَكْفُرُوا That they disbelieved. What did they disbelieve in? بِمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ Whatever Allah revealed, meaning the Quran, or denying the prophethood of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they basically exchanged their souls for this disbelief. They gave up their souls and took disbelief for themselves eternally. And this disbelief was just due to baghyan, enmity. Even though they recognized it as the truth, they were being rebellious, jealous, just because they were stubborn, because they couldn't accept the fact that the last messenger came from the Bani Ismail, not the Bani Israel. And they considered the Bani Ismail to be ummi, or uneducated people who didn't know anything. They thought that they were the only ones who were educated, that they were superior themselves, and they were the ones with ilm, knowledge, and they had books, and the messengers had come to them before, from among them. So they thought that they were so great. Now they weren't willing to accept that the last messenger was not from them, that he came from the Bani Ismail. So بَغْيَنَ أَنْ يُنَزِلَ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ عَلَى مَنْ يَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ. They were grudging that Allah bestows His bounty on whomever He wills out of His slaves. Okay, they wanted the messengers to only be of them, even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses whoever He wants as His Rasul, as His messenger to give His words to. This was their only problem, that they were prejudiced because they thought they were superior and they didn't want to accept anyone from outside of the Bani Israel. فَبَاءُوا بِغَدَبٍ عَلَىٰ غَدَبٍ. So they drew on themselves the wrath upon wrath, the rage of Allah on themselves. They disbelieved on top of disbelief. So they incurred the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon wrath. They suffered a great loss by denying Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It led to the disgrace of this dunya, the near, humiliation, and then later they were exiled from Medina too. They were made to leave there. So they had to endure the wrath of Allah in this life, and of course it's in store for them in the hereafter too. وَلِلْكَافِرِينَ عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ. There's a humiliating punishment for the disbelievers. So instead of the Bani Israel, they are called kafirs here. وَلِلْكَافِرِينَ. And for the disbelievers, due to their rejection of the messenger, due to them denying him, now they are kafirs. They made up so many excuses. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ آمِنُوا. And when they were told to believe in the messenger and the Qur'an, بِمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ, in whatever Allah had revealed, that Allah is the one who revealed the Qur'an to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So belief in the Qur'an meant belief in Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And belief in Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam also meant belief in the Qur'an, because it was given to him. What was their reply? قَالُوا نُؤْمِنُ بِمَا أُنزِلَ عَلَيْنَا. We already believe in what was revealed to us. So they said, we aren't disbelievers because we believe too. We're not deprived of this blessing, but we believe in what was revealed to us. وَيَكْفُرُونَ بِمَا وَرَاءَهُ. And they disbelieve in anything besides it. This specifically means the Qur'an, since that was sent besides the Torah. So they basically said, no thanks. We're committed already to obey the message that was sent to us. Therefore, we can't take more. Even though we know that they did not even take the message that was sent to them properly. وَهُوَ الْحَقُّ مُصَدِّقٌ لِمَا مَعَهُمْ. Wahuwa. The huwa refers to the Qur'an. Okay, and it was the haqq. Even though the Qur'an is the truth, مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا مَعَهُمْ, it confirms what was with them already. It verifies the Torah. We learned this already. قُلْ, say to them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Muslims what to tell them when they say, we have the Torah that you believe in too. And we have all other books too that you believe in. We believe in them too. So they say, what's wrong with us believing in just the Torah? So Allah says, قُلْ فَلِمَ تَقْتُلُونَ أَنْبِيَاءَ اللَّهِ مِنْ قَبْلُ. Say to them, then why have you been killing the messengers of Allah before this? إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. If you are believers like you claim to be. So why did you kill the messengers who used to read the Torah to you? The Bani Israel had nothing personal against those messengers that they killed, but the messengers used to read the Torah to them, recite the ayat, and point out that they were wrong to try to stop them from sinning when they were doing something wrong. When they realized that they couldn't shut their mouths, they just killed them. This is how sinful they had become. It was very common for them to deny the messengers and then kill them. Even killing a regular person is a great sin. And imagine them killing messengers of Allah just so they wouldn't have to listen to them to reform themselves. They would take the lives of those messengers just for trying to guide them. All they wanted for them was goodness to try to guide them, but they killed them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you are true believers, why did you kill those messengers? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us against following the ways of the Jews, and may He grant us the ability to follow the ways of the righteous. Ameen. May He make us implement all of the book in our lives and make it a source of argument for us in our favor on the Day of Judgment, not against us. Ameen. وَلَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ مُوسَىٰ. And certainly Musa alayhi salam came to all of you. The Jews of Medina are being reminded that Musa alayhi salam had come to their forefathers بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ, with the clear proofs. The bayyinat are the types of clear signs that a person can't deny, like the 9 miracles that Musa alayhi salam showed them. 2 were shown right in the beginning, the staff and the white hand. When he would stick out his hand, it would light up and look white, bright. And the staff, we already learned a little bit about. Besides this, the last section of Surah Bani Israel talks about the 9 miracles. So we will learn about the other 7 miracles later, inshallah. So they witnessed very clear miracles. These people should have believed after seeing those clear proofs, but what did they do? When Musa alayhi salam went to Mount Tur, ثُمَّ اتَّخَذْتُمُ الْعِجْلَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ. You took the calf after him. What did they take the calf as? This is about the Sinai Desert that we studied about earlier, Mount Sinai. What did they take the calf as? وَأَنْتُمْ ظَالِمُونَ. And you were wrongdoers. They took the calf as an idol. And you were wrongdoers. Now, why did Allah tell the Jews of Medina this? He meant that these crimes of yours have been ongoing since Musa alayhi salam's times. You've been doing this since those times, denying the messengers. So it's no big deal if you deny the messenger now too. You didn't believe even after seeing such clear proofs that Musa alayhi salam presented. So how could they believe in Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam when they were unfaithful to Musa alayhi salam? They didn't even stick by his side. And they tricked him. As soon as he left, they started to worship the calf. Why are they being told, اتخذتم العجلة, that you took the calf, when they had not done this? They weren't even around to do this, remember? It was their forefathers. As we learned before, if people are caught up in a sin in any place, it's as if they are a part of those sinful people. If there's a group of people caught up in a sin, and there's others who think that they didn't do anything wrong, that whatever they're doing is right, they support what they're doing, they don't feel against it, they are a part of them. Besides the ones who try to convey the message to them, they disbelieve in that sin. They tell them to stop and they hate it. Then it's as if that person is not even present there, even if they live among them. For example, when we live in a non-Muslim country and something sinful is happening around us, We should hate it. We should reject it and try to stop what's happening somehow, whatever way we can, whatever we can do. Then that counts as if we're not even here. We're not even in that non-Muslim place. And whoever is absent from that non-Muslim area, even if they live in a Muslim place, but they really want to do whatever that sin is that the non-Muslims from a place are caught up in, it's as if that person is here with the non-Muslims sinning. And they become a part of those people. They're included among them. And we know on the Day of Judgment, Allah will basically resurrect people with similar ones. Okay, He will include them among them. So with the Bani Israel, even though thousands of years had passed, the Jews used to justify what their forefathers did. The Jews of Medina, they used to justify for their forefathers. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to them, you worship the calf, because they never used to say that their forefathers had been wrong and they shouldn't have done it. They didn't think badly of it. So He said to them, you took the calf as an idol. You are of the wrongdoers, those who do shirk. So you wronged yourselves. They did shirk, which is the greatest injustice. The beginning of the next ayah is the same as what we have already studied before. وَإِذْ أَخَذْنَا مِيثَاقَكُمْ وَرَفَعْنَا فَوْقَكُمُ الطُّورِ خُذُوا مَا آتَيْنَاكُمْ بِقُوَّةِ When we took the firm oath from you. Which promise was this? Which oath? The Bani Israel were forced to promise that they would believe in and follow the Torah. When Musa alayhislam brought them the Torah, and they were ordered to believe in it and follow it, they said it's hard for them to do. Just like we say nowadays that it's so hard to follow the orders of the Quran in this day and age. It's not possible to follow. It's not possible for us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took Mount Thur and suspended it over their heads. And He said, Khuzu, take it. Ma ataynakum biquwwatin, whatever we gave you. And hold it firmly. So they promised to take it then and carry out these orders. They promised to obey. So why was this mithaq taken from them? This promise. It was a way of making them commit. It was a commitment, a promise. Because when a person promises something, they try to fulfill it. Like when we say that we don't want to do something, but we promise someone already. So we have to. Right? So this is why commitment is important. And until we commit, we cannot benefit from the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why they were forced to commit, to believe in and implement the orders of the Torah. Was there a promise taken from us also? This is something to think about. There's one promise that every Muslim has made to their Lord, and that is to worship only Him and be His slaves. And we repeat this in prayer so many times, every day. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ So when we say إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ, we are committing to only worship Him. We are saying only You we worship. وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ And only You we ask for guidance or help. إِنَّ الْأَهْدَ كَانَ مَسْؤُولًا And we'll be questioned about our promises. So this promise that we made to Allah, we're going to be questioned about. And this promise applies to the present and the future. Okay, that I only worship Allah and I only will worship You, O Allah. In the future. When a person takes an oath, they are not free anymore. They're bound by that promise when they make that promise. We have promised to be the slaves of Allah, but we are lying if we don't act like it. When we don't live our lives according to His laws, we are lying every time we say in Salah, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ that we are only His slaves. And we only ask Him for guidance. If we live our lives freely doing whatever we want and obeying our desires, we are not being his slaves. If the word Iyaka wasn't there, Iyaka means only you. If that wasn't there, maybe we could have had some sort of an excuse that we didn't say that we would only be Allah's slaves, so we can be the slaves of our desires too. When we say only you, we promise to worship only him. We have all promised to follow Ahde Alast, right? And what was Ahde Alast? That we will worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he is God. And then this Ahad, we promise to follow every day, this promise that we make every day. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala suspended Mount Dur over their heads. And he suspends hardships over our heads too, like mountains, to remind us of this promise and come back to the promise to fulfill it. But we forget about it so often. Even when we're sent hardships, sometimes we still don't come back to the promise that we've made with Allah to fulfill. Why did Allah use the element of fear? And why were they forced to hold fast to the book, to hold it firmly? Why were they forced? This is something to think about, right? Why was the mountain suspended over their heads that they had to take it? And we say that there's no forcing in religion. And it's a person's personal matter, so we can't say anything to anyone. But the mountain was suspended over their heads, and they were forced. So can people be forced in the Sharia, the religious law? Some people say, La ikraha fi din, as a reply to this question. They remember this, even when they don't remember any other ayah of the Quran. And that means, La ikraha fi din, there's no compulsion in deen, in religion. They say after Ayatul Kursi, there's the ayah that says, La ikraha fi din, there's no compulsion in deen. So why do you tell us to stop sinning, pray, and stop us from doing bad things, when there's no forcing in religion? Why were they forced? Please listen carefully and remember the answer to this, because a lot of people do discuss this. It's correct that la ikraha fi din, there's no forcing in religion. But you can apply this ayah to Muslims. It does not apply to Muslims. This ayah applies to kafirs, the disbelievers, that we can't take a kafir and forcefully expect them to accept Islam or threaten to kill them if they don't believe. We can't do that. It's very important to remember this. This is an order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that a Muslim cannot force anyone to believe in Islam. Non-believers have an option to believe or not. So when it comes to choosing religion, people cannot be forced. But once a person has entered Islam and they are Muslim, La ikraha fi din does not apply to them. Then they have to obey. We can't say that it's okay for us to not pray or fast or obey other rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are severe punishments that the scholars and imams have mentioned for these sins, for missing prayer, fasting, or disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, once we are Muslim, we have accepted Islam, we must obey. We have no options. Imam Abu Hanifa mentioned the least punishment for the one who doesn't pray, to be kept in a prison until he or she repents. That's how serious this is. And some other scholars say that such a person should be killed, because qatl, killing, is a much lighter punishment than what they will get in the hereafter. So once a person accepts Islam, they must obey. Imagine if a person does not live in this country. Until they cross its border and enter, the laws of this country do not apply to him or her. So they can do whatever they want when they're living somewhere else, right? When they're on the other side of the border. Nobody will expect them to follow the rules of this country. However, once a person crosses over that border, he or she must follow the laws here because they're in the boundaries of this country. It's the same with religion. When a person has not entered Islam, they can't be forced to obey its rules. They are non-believers. Okay, and we see non-believers who walk around not dressed modestly, and others who do other bad things. But whatever they do, the laws of Islam do not apply to them. But once they accept Islam, once they believe, they can't do whatever they want. They must follow once they accept and do what Allah wants them to, because they have declared to be Muslim. They have taken the Shahada. Once we accept Islam, we have to obey the laws. We should understand this concept and be able to answer clearly when people say that they don't have to obey, even if they're Muslim. Once they're within the boundaries of Islam, they can't do whatever they please and they must obey. So لا إكراه في الدين applies to people who are non-believers. We can't force them to obey. It does not apply to Muslims. The Bani Israel were the Muslims of that time, and they had made a commitment to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his rules. So they couldn't say that the rules of the book were too strict and hard to follow, so they're not going to obey. The Tur, Mount Tur, was suspended over their heads, and they were told to hold on to the book forcefully, like we've been told. We've been told in the Quran as well, وَاتَّسِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا, meaning hold fast to the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what is the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The Quran. We have taken this ahd, this promise. We have been guided to read it, understand it, learn it, fulfill the five rites of the Quran. That is ittisam. Okay, وَأَتَّسِمُوا, holding fast to it, meaning believe it, read it, understand it, implement it, and convey it to others. These are the five rights the Quran has over us. Okay, that we are supposed to believe that it's the word of Allah, read it, and try to understand it, live our lives according to it, and convey the message, its message to others. So they were made to promise too, to hold firmly to the book that changes lives. And they had to commit to this. You have made a commitment too when you joined Quran class that you would spend time listening to the ayat, trying to learn Allah's book and understand it. That's why you're sitting here today, because you made a commitment. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. So making a commitment makes a person stick to something. And then you are also supposed to take the test for class. Some people get nervous just because of the test, and they say, I don't want to commit to taking class because I don't want to take the test. They say that they won't take the test or attend the group activities. But خُذُوا مَا آتَيْنَاكُمْ بِقُوَّةٍ, if you're tested in it, you will try harder to learn. How can we hold fast to it? بِقُوَّةٍ, firmly, to test the level of our ilm, of our knowledge, so we can hold fast to it. And the revision in group activity is also for holding fast to it. If we listen to it only and don't remember it afterwards, it means that we have not gotten much out of it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to take it firmly with strength, hold on to it. Many people say that they really enjoyed a lecture that they heard somewhere, but when they're asked what that lecture was about, they can't even remember. The ilm or knowledge that we can't even remember will not benefit us. So tests are taken and you are expected to attend group activities so you feel a sense of achievement when you're done and remember what you learned afterwards, that you become firm in your ilm and benefit from it. As time passes, we regret and we think we should have learned it before. So this is for our own benefit, So inshallah, these things will help us have a stronger connection to the book, the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This order of خُذُوا مَا آتَيْنَاكُمْ بِقُوَّةٍ was for them, and it applies to us. وَاسْمَعُوا, and listen carefully. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith, whoever listens to an ayah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala carefully, for him or her is written a good deed that increases in abundance. Subhanallah. In abundance means this one good deed they get for listening to an ayah carefully, it won't continue to be just one. It won't stay just one. It'll keep increasing without you even knowing how much. Can you get that type of a reward for anything else? So we should listen to it carefully. MashaAllah, you are all listening to these ayat carefully too, and you listen to many. And inshallah, you will have done up to ayah 93 today, and you listen to these ayat carefully. And then add the 7 from Surah Al-Fatiha in the beginning, from before, so you will have listened to 100 ayat total, inshallah, when this class ends. This time that you have dedicated to the Qur'an should be for this only, for the Qur'an, to listen to it carefully. Don't do anything else during this time to earn that great reward of that one ayah being multiplied or increased in abundance. This time that you have given to the Qur'an is dedicated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have donated it, so we shouldn't be using it for other work. Fuzail bin Ayyaz radiallahu anhu was a very pious slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He used to say that ilm, meaning knowledge, has 5 degrees, 5 levels. The first degree of ilm is to stay quiet. We can only learn if we stay quiet. If we're texting or chatting, talking along with listening to the Quran, we can't really learn. We have to stay quiet, be quiet to get ilm. The second level of ilm is to listen carefully. Our listening capacity should be increased. We must listen carefully and try to increase it. The third degree is to remember what you listen to. If we can't remember what we listen to, it can't benefit us properly. The fourth is to act according to whatever we get to know. Whatever we learn, try to act according to it. Because it's the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever orders we come across, try to implement them. The fifth degree is to spread the knowledge that you have acquired. We should at least repeat to people what we learned when we see people. Whatever little bit we remember. So the 5 levels of ilm, the 5 degrees, the first is to stay quiet. Second is to listen carefully. Third, remember what you listen to. Fourth is act according to what you learn. And the fifth is to spread that knowledge. These are the 5 degrees of ilm. So firstly, we have to learn to be quiet for the duration of Quran time. If we're talking at the same time, we can't listen properly. Then revise to be able to sink it in and absorb the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Try to revise 2 to 3 times per week, just the meanings. Once you remember, you'll act accordingly too, inshallah. When you're about to do something, you will remember what you learned. And then once you revise so much, it will be easy to spread because it will come to you naturally when you talk about it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says for people to listen. We tell people to at least join us to listen to the Quran, even if we can't get to the higher degrees of ilm. But even that is difficult for some people, just listening. They say that they can't even listen because their hearts are covered by negligence, sins, and the love of this world so much that they don't even want to listen to the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember that Allah tells us in Surah Al-Mulk that the people of Jahannam will be screaming that day and saying, لَوْ كُنَّا نَسْمَعُ أَوْ نَعْكِلُ مَا كُنَّا فِي أَصْحَابِ السَّعِيرِ. We wish we had listened and understood. If only we had listened and understood, then we wouldn't have been in the blazing fire. They say that if only they had listened, So if we keep listening, it does gradually affect us. Even if water runs over a rock continuously, the rock eventually starts withering away. It gets a hole in it. However, there's one exception. Remember, we learned that some hearts become even harder than rocks, that even hearing the ayat of Allah doesn't affect them. They become feelingless. But if a heart is normal and it's not harder than rocks, it will be affected by the words of Allah. Sometimes we read the Quran on our own and we think it's enough. But Allah has said, wasma'u, when we listen to someone else tell us about the ayat, and we're listening, it affects us more. Read it yourself too, but also listen to someone. And they say, sami'na wa asayna. This is what they said, that we have heard, but we won't listen. That we will disobey. Allahu Akbar. Disobedience is not a small matter. It wasn't a small thing to say. And they're clearly saying that they intend to not obey ahead of time. Like in one ear and out the other. And they said, سَمِيَنَا وَأَصَيْنَا, in such a way that if someone complained about them saying this, they would say, سَمِيَنَا وَأَصَيْنَا, that we've heard and we've obeyed. So they would change that word. They said this to Musa alayhi salam first, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that they're doing the same thing 2,000 years later with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that they listened and knew, but they didn't obey. How can they obtain guidance when they have already planned that they're not going to obey? When we're listening to Quran class, we should be sure of one thing, that we don't plan to not obey Allah's orders, any of them. Many people procrastinate when it comes to obedience, saying, I'll do this after I get married, or after I get a job, or after this happens or that happens, then I'll obey. But not now. In this case, I'm not listening to obey. If I'm planning this, I'm listening, but it's not to obey. And we think, I'll listen for the sake of it, but I can't obey. Because people keep saying that I haven't even read and learned the Quran, and I feel guilty. So I am listening now and taking class, and I hope to get the certificate at the end of the course, but I don't plan to obey. I don't want to be an extremist like that. Allahu Akbar. If we think that way, we cannot benefit from the Quran. We have the same attitude as the Bani Israel in that case. So remember, if we don't change, even after listening to the book of Allah, the hearts become very hard, and then nothing can change a person. It's only Allah's book that can change a person's heart, their life, their deeds, their priorities, and even their ways of thinking. If you feel that you're listening to the book, but there's no change at all in the condition of your heart, beware that your heart has become harder than a rock. It's not guaranteed that you will change completely, but there should be some positive changes, at least, that you notice as you read the Quran. So they said, سَمِيَنَا وَأَصَيْنَا. We heard and we disobeyed. وَأُشْرِبُوا فِي قُلُوبِهِمُ الْعِجْلَ بِكُفْرِهِمْ. And they were made to drink the love of the calf in their hearts due to their disbelief. So what was the kufr they did? The disbelief. Them worshipping the calf was kufr. And them saying, سَمِيَنَا وَأَصَيْنَا. We've heard and we've disobeyed. That we have heard and we will not obey. That's what they said clearly. To say this in response to Allah's orders, or to joke around about it, that's kufr, disbelief. This means that they didn't value it. And their disbelief, that they made an idol of the calf. The love of the calf was poured into their hearts. But the love of that idol was not only in their hearts. We say they made a calf and they worshipped it. They were so wrong. But it wasn't only them who did this. For everyone, there's some sort of love that is absorbed deep within a person's heart, like their love for the calf. And because of that love, people don't come to the haqq, the truth from Allah. We say we're believers, but what's inside of our heart. The love for some idol fills our hearts too. This happens with everybody. It doesn't just happen with them. We know that physically, they were the ones who made an idol of the calf, and they had so much love for it. Today, we don't have a golden calf before us, but we prostrate before the idols in our hearts, those we bow in front of. We leave Allah and worship those idols, and we love them even more than Allah, na'uzubillah, so much that we can do anything for them and break Allah's rules due to them. And what are those idols that we worship nowadays in society? Most commonly, do we know? Let's think about this. And please list them for homework to discuss in group activity. Our own self is the biggest idol. Okay, our own soul, pride, is an idol. That we think we are so great, so we don't have to listen to anyone else. We want to do as we please, whatever we desire. One's own soul is an idol. We love whatever we want to do so much, we love it so much that we don't want to belittle it. Our nafs, our own soul. Likewise, wealth is an idol too that people worship. Money. People don't hesitate to break Allah's rules due to this love of acquiring wealth. This love for acquiring it, they are willing to do anything. Break Allah's rules if they have to, just to get that wealth. They worship it and bow before it. It becomes their Lord. For some, their husbands become the idols in their lives. That the purpose of their life is to just fulfill their husband's desires. The husband becomes so great to them that they break Allah's rules for him. Whatever he wants, they do. For others, gatherings, get-togethers of love or lahav become idols for them. Where vain, useless things happen and entertainment is so important to them. They love these things so much that the love for them, for these get-togethers, was poured in their hearts. They basically become absorbed by it. And they love it so much, whatever the idol is that they have made, that they can't stop. They can't leave it. And sometimes they leave the Quran or a gathering of dhikr, where we get together to mention Allah, to remember Allah. They are willing to let go of those gatherings, skip them if needed, but they don't leave the gatherings of love or lahav. Vain, useless gatherings where, you know, it's just for worldly entertainment. Just laugh and play. For some people, the love for their homes becomes their ajl, their calf. There, it is imbibed in their hearts, the love for it. They live for these homes. They have given them as much importance as God. For everyone, there's one calf that takes over their hearts, one idol. So we should check to see if we only think of Allah as Lord, or do we have other calves or idols in our hearts too that we worship. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. Ameen, ya Rabbil Alameen. When they were like this, that they were in love with the calf and considered it holy, Allah poured the love for it in their hearts. That if that's what you want to be like, then this will be the illness or affection of your hearts. So Allah left them to it. Qul, say, بِئْسَ مَا يَأْمُرُكُمْ بِهِ إِيمَانُكُمْ. O Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell them, evil is what your iman orders you to do. How bad is your belief that it orders you to disbelieve? When they said that they're mu'min already, and they believe in the Torah, the Jews of Medina, this is what they were saying. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We're already believers, and we believe in the Torah, the Zabur, and we believe in Allah too. So what is the argument about? They also said, you tell us to believe in Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We are believers too, because we believe in Islamic law, religious law. You believe in Musa alayhi salam, and we believe in him as well. So we are believers too. You say we are not believers. How? What's the problem? We are on Tawheed and believe in the Day of Judgment. We believe in one God and the Day of Judgment. That's what they meant. And everything. So Allah says, how bad is your iman that it makes you disbelieve? What sort of a belief is that? You love the calf. So who was Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam supposed to say this to? He was ordered to say this to the Jews of Medina. But also, this applies for every person that has the love of any calf in their hearts, any idol. Or he or she says, سَمِيَنَا وَأَصَيْنَا. If a person says, we have heard and we disobeyed, that he listens to the book but says, I've heard, but I don't want to believe. You say you're believers and that you have a Muslim name. And people get so offended when they're questioned about this. That of course I'm Muslim. But does your iman order you to do this? To worship a calf that you love? And to say, سَمِيَنَا وَأَصَيْنَا. That I've heard, we've heard, and we disobey. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, how bad is it that your iman orders you to do this? If you are really true believers, can you say this about Allah's book? Is this how a believer should be? You claim to be a believer, but what do your actions say? And whose love does your heart hide inside? It doesn't go with iman at all. So the deeds of a person, whatever they do, are connected to their belief. If we say we are believers, but then we say we won't obey, is that what iman orders us to do? So from this ayah, we are clearly told that iman, without acting upon it, is not acceptable. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking, what sort of an iman is it that orders you to do bad things? Even after listening to the book of Allah, becoming familiar with it, you disobey. If the outcome of this iman is not good, of course it's not acceptable. If it's making us do this. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to learn, understand, and implement the Quran in our lives. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم آمين يا رب العالمين جزاكم الله خيرا كثيرا السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته